Now is it on? Okay. So thankful for the good singing. Thankful for the living hope that we have in Christ, aren't you? And such a wonderful song and great message. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about deacons. Deacon, I think it's important that the church know and we hear about the roles of leadership and I'm thankful that God provides leadership for His people, and He always makes sure that there are men who can help lead His people in God's direction. You look through the Old Testament and into the New Testament, God's always has leaders that He raises up. Even sometimes we're talking in our Sunday, Brother George's Sunday school class, we're looking at Ezekiel, the prophet. When they were in captivity in Babylon, God raised up Ezekiel and gave them a message that they didn't want to hear. And yet God said to Ezekiel, deliver the message anyway and be faithful to deliver the message and lead the results to me. And through that, and in the New Testament, we find that as well. One of the first things that Paul did as he established churches was appoint leaders in the church. And when he would leave, he would make sure that there'd be a pastor there in that church that would look after the congregation, be able to proclaim God's word and those kind of things. But also there, as the church grew, there arose a need, a realization that it wasn't just up to one man, but that we needed a team. In fact, we all have a part to play in God's plan and in God's church. And thankfully, God, despite our frailties and our shortcomings, God creates within us a newness of life and says, you're valuable and you're useful to me. So no matter how, you know, unuseful you think you might be and how untalented you are, God says, you are useful and you are talented. And the key is to allow God to use you and say, Lord, what can I do? And when we ask that, guess what? God's going to answer. And God has given every believer certain spiritual gifts to help them complete the body of Christ. And in addition to that, God also raises up leaders for the church. And so the deacons were established in Acts chapter 6. And I want to read those for you. Brother Bill, I think I forgot to put those in. You might can throw them up quick. If not, you follow along in your Bibles with me. It says, now in those days when the numbers of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their needs were neglected in the daily distribution. The 12, meaning the 12 apostles, summoned a multitude of disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of the Lord spread, and the numbers of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests were even obedient to the faith. And so these men that were called to be leaders, when we think of leaders, we think of CEOs and that kind of thing, and that's not what deacons or pastors are called to be. They're called to be servant leaderships. That's the leadership that Jesus modeled. You remember Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so, and that's one of the things pastors and deacons have to remember, is that they are called to lead, but it's not leadership as the world often counts leadership. And so what we want to see this morning are some characteristics that Paul says to Timothy as Timothy is leading this new beginning church and establishing leaders in the church, what they're to look for. And he addresses in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the first few verses, the qualifications of pastors. And then in verse 8, he begins to address the qualifications of deacons. And so let's take a look and see what he tells young Timothy. He says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, and then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, and faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children in their own homes well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so a great reminder of and some of these characteristics are things that all of us should ascribe to. They're things that should characterize the Christian life, but the reason they have this characteristic of the Christian life is because we have leaders that model it for us, and that's what pastors and deacons are supposed to do. So it's not that these qualities that you can't say, well, preacher, I'm not a pastor or a deacon, so I don't have to be reverent. I'm not a pastor or a deacon, so I don't have to know the Scriptures and hold the faith and be blunt. No. We all should embody those characteristics, but God has raised up examples for us to help. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the examples that deacons are supposed to set for the church. And the first thing that we see is that deacons are called to be examples of service. They began not as lords over church, which sometimes I'm thankful not here at our church, but in some churches they become the ruling hand of the church, and that's not what the Bible says deacons are supposed to be, and it's not the picture that the Bible paints of what deacons are. But unfortunately, we sometimes see that. But deacons rather are to serve. Remember from Acts where the deacons were first appointed, what was their job? What was their point? Their point was ministering to the needs of the people. Not that the apostles weren't concerned about those things, but they had other things that they needed to do. And so God had inspired them, say, all right, you need help? Raise up. And they were to find seven men who are full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And they picked these men, and by the way, this was a diverse group. There were a proselyte, there were Greeks, there were Hebrews in this group of the first deacons. And one of the first deacons, Stephen, the first one that's mentioned, is the first Christian martyr. He doesn't deek very long. And yet, his character and his faithfulness, you know, was brought to fruition and put on display. And he was ultimately killed because of his faithfulness to his Lord. So deacons are called to be examples of service. Paul says in verse 13, those that have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ. So deacons are not supposed to be the only ones that serve in church, but they are to be examples, and their wives are to be examples of having servants' hearts. Oftentimes, the example or the picture we get in our mind of Christian service is a basin and a towel. We get that from John 13. It's after Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper, as we're going to do in just a few minutes. He got up, and you remember he took his coat off and he wrapped a towel around his waist and got a basin and a pitcher and began to wash the disciples' feet. Well, the reason that was such a significant picture was that that was the job of the host. And the servants of the house would be the ones that would do that. And not when a meal was over, that you would do it when you first got in the house. We all know, Mama, when you came trudging in after playing outside, what did Mama always say? Take your shoes off or wipe your feet, wipe your feet. And so their feet would have already been washed and cleaned. And so Jesus was getting across another important lesson. Because he said after he washed his disciples' feet, he said, if I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And Jesus was a great example of service. And deacons are called to be an example of that kind of service as well. And I'm thankful that we have two men that God has put in our church that are excellent examples of serving others and serving Christ's church. And we don't realize and appreciate oftentimes the hours and that these men put in for us in the church. And they don't make a fuss about it. They just do it. And because it needs to get done. And they both have servants' hearts, and I'm thankful for that. And my prayer is that God would raise up more great servants, and that we would have more men come through our church that would have servants' hearts like Rodney and George do. So they're called to be examples of service, but also they're called, secondly, to be examples of integrity. And in our world today, that is perhaps super, super important. Jesus said that they, you know, would know that they belong to me by the love that you show for one another. In other words, they know if you're real or not. That's what integrity is. And so Paul here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that, you know what, deacons are supposed to be reverent. They're supposed to not be double-tongued. In other words, they stick to their word. They speak the truth in love. And sometimes the truth is hard to give. But it's important that we give it anyway. That's part of what integrity, you know, it's like politicians, you know, or got this reputation, rightfully so, unfortunately, too often, that you know, they say one thing to get elected and then they become a different person once they get in office. Is that a person of integrity? No, it's not. And so Jesus says, you know, don't be double-tongued. Don't be a drunkard. Don't be greedy. Hold to the mystery of faith. In other words, hold to the doctrine of the Christian faith with a pure conscience. Set an example, you know. So, in other words, be temperate, you know, not slanderous, and faithful in all things. Well, what do all of those things boil down? It boils down to integrity, doesn't it? And deacons are supposed to be examples of character and integrity. But I don't need to tell you that they're not the only ones in the church that are supposed to have character and integrity, are they? That's something that we're all supposed to aspire to. And again, the deacons set an example of what that means. And so deacons are called to, you know, walk the walk. And that's why he said, don't let any, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry just make them a deacon because they, you know, show up for church or, you know, they're Bubba Joe's brother-in-law or whatever. He says, you test them first. And then when they've passed that test and they're blameless, and that blameless does not mean perfect, but it means that those that, you know, the charges can't be laid out again. In other words, people can't come say, you know what, that George Kimbrough's got a potty mouth. You know, he's a drunker. He's out at the pool hall and the bar hall every Friday night, and they can't say that about George Kimbrough or Rodney. So we're to walk the talk. Jesus said it this way. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So that you don't have to take it, that people just know that they can take, when you give your word, that they know you're being truthful and honest with them. And I tell you, as a leader, sometimes that's hard. Because sometimes leaders have to give messages that are hard, but are necessary. But part of being a person of integrity is delivering that message and delivering it faithfully. Not watering it down, not hem-hawing around it. And we need to be thankful that we have men that will stand up for God's Word and stand on God's Word and be examples for us. So deacons are called to be examples of integrity. That they would have this good reputation not only within the church, but outside the church as well. So that those that don't know Christ, and those that would maybe be antagonistic toward the church, wouldn't be able to say anything negative about these deacons. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't try, and that we know from reading the book of Acts, sometimes those that were antagonistic toward Paul and other preachers, they would pay people to lie and, you know, get them to say that they did things that they really didn't. Well, that right away tells you that they are not God's leaders. Those men that did that, some of them were high priests and officials from Jerusalem that did those things. But they certainly were not acting on God's behalf. Because God is a God of holiness and integrity, and He expects His people to be the same. And especially those that He puts in leadership positions. And it takes a while to do that. I remember in Bible college, you know, as you know, when you're a young Christian and you think you've got all the answers and you can, man, if I could just preach this one sermon to these people, man, it'd fix all their problems, and they'd just get right. Well, when you've been around the block a few miles, you realize, it ain't that way. It's not so easy. And it's not so quick for people to change their minds and change their hearts. And so that's why it's so important that we have deacons that are tested and are faithful. Unfortunately, I've heard of churches that have deacons that don't even show up to church on Sunday. I'm not talking about they just miss once in a while. It's more regular for them not to be there than it is for them to be there. That is not the characteristic of a deacon that you want as a deacon. In fact, we would say, you know, if we behave, if I or one of the deacons or any other deacon that comes on behind us were to start behaving that way, guess what? They wouldn't have that position very long. Because the Bible says that when you serve as a deacon, you're to be tested, and then you let them serve. That they're to be a person of integrity, not only within the church and with outside of the church, but they're to be men of integrity in the home as well. In other words, that they're the same Christ-minded and Christ-honoring people that they are in church and that they are outside of, in the workplace and in the community and in their home as well. And then lastly this morning, I want us to see quickly that deacons are called not only to be examples of service and integrity, but they're called to be examples of Christ. Christ came as an example of service, as an example of mercy and grace. He came with a mission. You remember what he said that his mission was to point others to the Father, wasn't it? And deacons are called to be that same example. That they're examples of humility, of love and grace and mercy. Jesus ultimately would lay his life down for his church. Now, Brother George and Brother Rodney cannot shed their blood for my sin or anybody else's sin, even their own sin. Jesus was the only one that could do that. But these two men certainly are examples of Christ's sacrifice. And they sacrificed their time and their, you know, treasure. Sometimes they probably, their families feel like they sacrifice their family time sometimes. But they do it willingly. They don't do it for a paycheck. They don't do it for a game of golf or a dinner or a mom. They do it for Christ. And as we live the Christian life, we don't do it for what we get out of it. Do you have benefit of being a Christian? Absolutely you do. Is there benefits of being a deacon or being a pastor or being a Sunday school teacher, being a leader in God's church? Yeah, there are. But the true benefit is not what we get out of it, but how much Christ gets out of it. And how Christ's kingdom is built up and glorified and brought together because of our service to one another. I know both of these men have spent many nights probably up and had sleepless nights praying about different things that are impacting the church as a whole or a family in the church. Maybe a church member that had gone astray that the Lord may have burdened their heart with something. I've called them at odd times sometimes. And then, oh, I'm sorry. Go away. But when we've needed them, they've always been there. And when you need them, they're there. Because they have a heart and a mindset like Jesus had. But again, it's something that is not to, we don't put Rodney and George on pedestals, though we're thankful for them. I've not been in a church where we've had horrible deacons. I've heard other preachers share horror stories, though. And I'm thankful that I've not had that and pray I never do have that. But we have good, godly men that do serve the church, but you know, it's not that we lift them up. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the deacons. It's not about the name on the sign. What's about, and the main point of it all, is Jesus Christ and His love for mankind and His love for His church. And so any good that Rodney and Holly or Kay and George or any of us might give to serve the Lord, yeah, we get some benefit out of it. But it's not about us. It's about Christ. And I'm thankful that there will be souls in heaven when we get there because of our service and of our giving to the Lord. Remember, Paul said it this way. He said, you know what? Some plant and some water and some harvest, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God that ultimately does the work, but guess what? He uses us to get the work accomplished. So we can think of ourselves as His gardening tools. Maybe we're a hoe or a rake or the water hose in God's kingdom. And I'm so thankful that God will use us. And so, again, these are characteristics that all of us should seek to live after and seek to model in our life. But if you're going to be a deacon, these better be true, because you're an example of these for the rest. And I'm thankful that we do have good examples of service and integrity and of Christ. And so I hope God will help us in that. And so I'm thankful for these two men and for a reminder that God is faithful to His church to always make sure that His church will stand. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. In other words, Satan won't be able to defeat Christ's church. Though he's tried, he's here lately with this coronavirus and lots of craziness going on in our world trying to defeat the church. Can I tell you, the world's been going after the church for 2,000 years and it hadn't won. And that's because God is so much stronger than any leader in this world. And I'm thankful for that great reminder. So Paul reminds us that we need to be thankful for the leaders that God puts in our path. But then we also need to say, you know what, these characteristics, these qualities, these examples that these leaders teach us, we should put these things in our life too. It's not just the pastor and the deacons that are supposed to be chaste and honorable and integrity and be men and women of service, but something that we're all called to. And I hope that we'll receive that message well. Let's pray again. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. Lord, we thank You so much for godly men and women that You've put in our church to help lead and guide us. Lord, thank You for our Sunday school teachers, for our deacons, for our pastor, for their families, Lord, for every family that's a part of our church. Lord, You have given us a great example in Yourself. And Lord, we pray we would strive to meet that example. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know You, they've never accepted that great gift of pardon and new life, may today be the day that they receive that. Lord, maybe there's one of Your children here today and you're dealing with their heart about how they're to serve You. Or maybe an issue of an integrity in their life, or how they're reflecting Christ. God, will You help them to do business with You today? Help us respond that we may leave this place blameless because we've heard from You and we've made things right. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, my friend, and if God spoke into your heart and there's a decision that you need to make today, this would be a great day and a great time to make that decision.